Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
The list price is a suggestion. I'm gonna pay what makes sense. So at the end of the day, I look at the market and whether a property is coming soon or whether a price change happened or whether it's been sitting on the market, I go in and I offer a lowball price with a close in 5 to 7 days. Like basically a bully offer is offering a low price but giving irresistible terms, which is we're gonna close cash, we'll close in 5 days, we're not gonna have any inspection, you know, none of that. And then that'll entice, you know, people that's motivated to come down on their price.
Imagine making the next big investment in your business without worrying about how you secure the capital to do it. Every day you're putting in the work. You clock in at your job, you stay up late to work on your business, you handle your family responsibilities, but hard work isn't enough to create financial freedom. Here's why so many entrepreneurs still feel stuck. Business credit approvals keep slipping through your fingers. The advice that you've been given doesn't match the results. And you've invested in yourself, but without having the right structure, it hasn't paid off. It's not that you're not capable, it's just that the path that you've been given is broken. That's why I created the Fast Track to Capital. It's a proven framework that entrepreneurs are using to boost their credit so that lenders can trust them, structure their business so that banks see them as credible, and access $50,000 to $100,000 in business credit so they can finally act on opportunities. This isn't about working harder. It's about applying the same structure that wealthy entrepreneurs have been using for years. So if you're ready to stop spinning your wheels and actually move forward, click the link above or below this video to secure your spot in the free masterclass, and I'll see you on the other side of success.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today, is a very special day because our guest today is an entrepreneur, investor, mentor, coach, educator, and real estate builder extraordinaire. He's the owner and founder of the Triple M Method, a framework teaching the next generation how to build the money-making mindset needed to start investing, building wealth, and mastering the game of real estate. From humble beginnings coming out of Louisiana to now overseeing multiple million-dollar projects at a time and building a portfolio of well over 8 figures in deals being done, his story is one of risk, resilience, and relentless execution. And whether he's providing free game to aspiring investors on how they can find, fund, and manage their first real estate build in under 6 months, or teaching new investors how to get started by leveraging wholesale real estate, his mission remains the same: to provide the tools, information, and resources needed to lead a movement that's reshaping how wealth is built in our communities. And today, he's here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, from New Orleans, Louisiana, by way of Nashville, Tennessee, I'm here with the one, the only, my guy, Mr. Abram Mitchell. What's going on, family? How are you?
What's up, boss? Hey, look. I'm going to give you a hand clap for that one.
I appreciate it, bro.
I felt like Muhammad Ali coming in the ring, dude.
Hey, like man.
Terrence Crawford, man. Yeah.
Well deserved. Well deserved, bro. Mm-hmm. How are you? How's everything?
Man, I'm blessed.
Good. Mm-hmm. Excited to have you on here.
How are you doing today?
Man, I'm blessed and I'm highly favored, but I'm better now that I'm talking with you.
All right.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to this conversation, man. I've been following you for some time now. You are a heavy hitter in the space, and I know that this is going to be a value-packed conversation between yourself and myself for everyone who's watching. Obviously, I did a solid job introducing you, but nobody knows Abram Mitchell better than the man himself. So for those who are unfamiliar, let's get them familiar. Who exactly is Abram Mitchell?
Abram Mitchell, man. That question, that's a good one. Oh, man, first and foremost, I'm me. You know, Abram Mitchell, I'm me. I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana. Grew up about 45 minutes away. Bounced all around Louisiana. I went to college in Lafayette. Eventually dropped out and, you know, started chasing my dream, which is not what I'm doing right now, but it's to get rich, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To be free, you feel me? And now it's real estate, which I've grown a passion to love, you know, real estate development. But I'm no different than the next person, you know? Mm. Just, you know, put my head down and work for, you know, what I have today.
I love that. Let's go back a bit, because people see the man today, but as I'm sure you can attest, the path to you getting where you are today was not one that was overnight. It wasn't linear. Mm-mm. It took time, and I'm sure a lot of lumps, bumps, and bruises. What exactly did life look like for you before success in entrepreneurship? I know you talked a little bit about dropping out of school. So bring me around that time in your life. What was going on there around the college time?
So, man, I'm gonna be honest. I didn't really have like an example when it came to college, you know?
Right.
Like my parents, they didn't go to college. And the people in my family that did go to college, I didn't talk to them about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, when I graduated high school, I was like, I knew everything. I had all the tools going into college. I was focused on playing football.
Mm.
You know, I didn't get scholarships, you know, obviously I didn't get scholarships, stuff like that. But all my friends did, you know, they went D1. They had all the scholarships. I sat there, watched them sign on signing day. And I just made a goal at that point. Like, I'm not going to be the one that, you know, got all these friends in the NFL or whatever, because I'm just looking at their trajectory, you feel me? And I'm like, some of these dudes probably about to go to the NFL, be filthy rich. I'm not about to be the guy, like, freeloading, like trying to live off your friends, live off your homies, you know what I mean? So around that time, I started, you know, working out with them and trying to, you know, I made a goal to, like, look, I'm going to go walk on for a team in college and play football. And that didn't happen. You know, I worked out for months and months, you know, like basically you end the season around like fall or winter time of your senior year. Mm-hmm. And then you got that period before you graduate. Mm. So all my friends that was going D1, you know, we worked out every single day. I worked out like I was going to walk on, didn't walk on. Mm. Got to college, didn't have no money, nothing. Freshman year, didn't have a job, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really even have money to put gas in my car, you know what I'm saying? So that first year of college, I'm like, I'll never, ever in life walk around with $0 in my pocket. Like, mm-hmm. that's crazy to mm-hmm. me, to not have any money. So immediately after that freshman year of college in Louisiana, the big thing to do, you know, to get money is go work in the plant. So I went, got licensed, like, well, I went, got a certification. It's called a TWIC card.
Okay.
Me and my friend. And I went, did that because I'm like, okay, this summer I'm going to go make me about $10,000-$15,000. Because basically the word was you go get a turnaround. Basically you work for 6 to 9 weeks straight. You making like $20, $30 an hour. And then overtime, you make it time and a half. So you're making like $35, $40 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm counting that up. I'm like, I'm going to go stack up like $10,000-$15,000 mm-hmm. during this summer, come back to college. I got the bag now. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Got money now. Put gas in my car. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So that didn't work out. I got the TWIC card, started applying, and I couldn't even get a phone call or anything. Yeah. Like, I actually remember me and one of my homies, we went to one of the plants to basically go put in the application, go apply. Like, somebody we talked to that already worked in the plants was letting us know, hey, go to such and such. Basically, go to Gabriel. That's in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Go there. That's where, you know, a bunch of plants are taking people.
Yeah.
So we're going to the plants, and every plant, they had a waiting list. They're like, yeah. We walking in. They're like, oh, you late. Mm. They show us the list. They're like, you got your name on the list.
Mm.
Man, it's like 100 people on the list.
Mm.
So I'm like, so y'all call all these people before, and they're like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, what's the odds you go call us? And they're like, you're not going to get a call.
Right.
You feel me? So at that point, it's summertime in between freshman and sophomore year. Like I said, didn't have no money freshman year. Tried to get the TWIC card, tried to go get a job. That didn't work at the plant. Then I end up, my homie, he called me. He like, hey, they got this restaurant that's ordering, like, on the spot, bro. Like, I just did an interview, and I started today.
Mm.
I'm like, bet. Just line me up with dudes. So I go do the interview. It's called Shucks. It's a restaurant. I go in there. dude, like, you ready to work? I'm like, yes. Like, that's literally how it went. Like, we go in there. He's like, how old are you? You know, basic questions. Have you ever worked before? You know, I let him know I worked at Home Depot before for like 3 months. Mm-hmm. I quit because I was going to college, you know. And then he was like, okay, cool. You ready to work? I was like, how much you paying? He said $12 an hour. I was like, let's go. Mm-hmm. I started working that day. That was like, that was probably June, July, around that time. Mm-hmm. Started working as a fry cook, and, you know, just started making a little money in there, but I hated that. Mm. Like, I hated every part of having to show up to work at a certain time, mm-hmm. having to do what somebody else was telling me to do, mm-hmm. and then I can't leave until, you know, they ready for me to leave.
Yep.
So my dad, my parents, they're self-employed. Mm-hmm. I never watched my parents work a job, corporate, none of that. They hustlers, you feel me? I watched my parents sell plate lunches, all type. We could get into it. Mm-hmm. But they have a glass business, mm-hmm. okay, where they repair windshields on cars. You ever driving up the street and a rock chip hit your windshield and then the cracks start spreading? Mm-hmm. So they repaired those windshields, replaced glasses. Mm-hmm. So that's when I went to my dad. I was like, hey, I got to get into the glass industry. Mm-hmm. I got to get into this. I need a way to make my own money without having to have a job or something like that. And then basically he was like, all right, cool. I'll show you how to repair windshields. You feel me? And then he teaches me how to do it for 5 minutes, then drop me off at the car wash place where basically, you ever been to a full service car wash where you pull up and then they wash your car and stuff like that?
Yeah.
So if you're in a spot with a bunch of cars pulling up, chances are cars go pull up with cracks on their windshield.
Yep.
So that's where you'll see a lot of windshield techs operate. Mm-hmm. Long story short, he dropped me off there and he's like, get busy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, what's next? He said, get busy. Like, mm-hmm. you look at every single car windshield and the ones that got cracks on it, you attempt to close them. Mm-hmm. You feel me? So, that first day, you know, I was scared as a kid, a little nervous. You know, I'm like, I mean, not a kid. I'm like 18 years old. You feel me? This is summer of 2017. Mm-hmm. So that first day, I probably asked a few people, you know, cars pulling up. I'm looking. I'm asking a few people, hey, my name's Abram Mitchell. I'm with Clear Auto Glass. Notice you got a chip on your windshield. Insurance actually covers that, you know. Would mm-hmm. you want to get it replaced? No, get on my face. You know what I mean? So I even got to the point where I didn't even want to ask people. Mm. So I hit a dud my first day. So I went back home, and I'm like, I hit a dud. And then my dad was like, every no go bring you closer to a yes.
Yep.
So that clicked for me. Like, I remember, like, it clicked for me. I was like, this is a fact. Like, every single time somebody tell me no, the facts are I'm going to get to a yes. Mm-hmm. So I went back. And I was like, I'm asking every single person. Long story short, I had my first like $280 a day. Mm-hmm. I did like 5 windshields. You make like $60, $70 a pop. Mm-hmm. That was like the big light bulb switch for me, bro. So like I started making money, you know what I'm saying, on my own. I still had the job at Shucks. I quit that when we went back to college. Mm. You feel me? But long story short, bro, I was hustling in the glass business around that time, and then I came across real estate in June of 2018.
So you go from, I'm trying to get a job at the plant, that mm-hmm. don't work, to fry cook, hate it, mm-hmm. getting in mom and pop's business, go through a couple no's, have your first $280 day.
Yeah.
Then from there, college rolls back around. Now you college rolls back around, and you talk about your intro to real estate. How does real estate now come into the picture?
Got you. So let me. All right. So it's 2017.
Yep.
August 2017. We go back to college. Mm-hmm. So I had spent that summer, like I was just saying, working the glass.
Yep.
And my first $280 day, I was able to make thousands of dollars that summer. Like I had $1,000 days. Mm. Basically, like, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to let y'all know this right now. If anybody watching this and you like, I have nothing and I need to go make some money right quick, bro, look into the glass repair business. All you got to do is go buy a windshield repair and replacement kit. And I'm telling y'all, bro, Insurance covers it free of charge. You make $60 to $70 a pop. This is the easiest way to start stacking up some money and then putting it into the next big thing that you want to do. That's what I did. Mm-hmm. You feel me? So when I went back to college, keep in mind, where my parents live was about an hour and a half away from college. Mm. So when we went back, I'm like, damn, I'm not going to be broke again.
Yeah.
I got a job. I'm down there was thinking about dropping out at that point. You feel me? Because I'm like, I was in college just to be in college, bro.
Right.
Like, I did very well. I actually left school with a 3.9 GPA. Mm-hmm. But I never just had any, I'm like, cool. I never knew why I was here.
Right.
I always was like, the first opportunity I get, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. So basically, long story short, when I went back, I had to go find me a car wash that would allow me to work there mm-hmm. so I could keep making money. I did that. Found me a car wash that allowed me to pay them monthly to operate the glass business there.
Yep.
I ended up pledging in college, and I started finding out that the glass business was seasonal. Mm. And I was in the hot-ass sun, like, all day, every day, bro. Like, I'm telling you, sitting out there, hot-ass sun, some days you don't make any money. And then I'm just like, I just remember one day, bro, it was after I crossed, and it was wintertime. I was just talking about it's hot. Wintertime, it's cold. And I was sitting out there at the car wash, and I was just like, damn, this not going to make me rich. Mm. My parents ain't rich. They still hustling, check to check. I watched my dad get up every single day and work from sun up to sundown. This ain't it. And that's when it started clicking for me. And I started, like, doing research on other things. And you fast forward. I said that was winter of 2017. You fast forward to summer of 2018. That's when I came across wholesaling real estate. And I just went all in on that. Like, I bought a course and just went all in on that.
Walk me through your first wholesale deal.
So, like I said, I found out about wholesaling real estate June of 2018. First thing I thought was it's a scam. This ain't right. This ain't it. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, damn, it's looking good though. Looking like a good scam. You know, maybe I might not get caught. You know what I'm saying? I just want to make some money. We're just talking about. But I started watching podcasts, bro. Mm-hmm. And also at that time I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Mm. And like, you know, like that stuff, it just started clicking for me. They talking about money as a tool. Mm-hmm. I had some money on me. So like I mentioned, I bought a course from reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I'm like, oh, okay. So the money I got is like a tool to buy information so I could do this wholesale thing.
Yeah.
So I bought the course and I just got to work. Basically, the course told me to pull a list off of listsource.com. So I'm going to plug ListSource right now. Get their phone numbers and start calling them. That's what I started doing. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to analyze a deal. I didn't know how to come up with an offer. I didn't know nothing at all. Mm-hmm. I was out at the car wash doing my glass business and on the phone trying to do real estate deals. Mm-hmm. Well, me not knowing nothing eventually got me to my first deal. You know what I'm saying? So from June of 2018 to October 19, 2018, that's how long it took for me to do my first real estate deal. I made $32,000, and I immediately dropped out of college, and I moved to Nashville, Tennessee to just go all in with it. Mm. But it wasn't peaches and cream. Like, it wasn't like it was just, oh, find out about wholesaling, make a phone call, $32,000. Nah, it was like, make a phone call, nobody answered, try to pull a list, did it wrong. Got a deal under contract, can't sell it, you know, and then you hit that lick and you like, all right, now this works.
So from going to your first $280 day fixing windshields to now making $32,000, most people usually make like $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. Maybe most I've ever heard before this interview was like $10,000 on their first wholesale real estate deal. What was the mindset shift that happened in that moment when you got that check for the $32,000? What was going through your mind mentally?
That was like my $10 million. I call it my $10 million deal because it was like a proof of concept to me.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, you know, like at that point, most of the amount of money I seen at one time was $70. Mm. You know, I don't even think up until that point I seen a check over $1,000, you know? Mm-hmm. So when I seen, okay, basically I did the same thing that I've been doing my life, which is in the glass business, talking to people, closing deals. Mm-hmm. I did the same thing I did at the car wash to close that real estate deal. The only difference was we was talking about property.
Yeah.
And I made $32,000. So I was like, dang, it's the vehicle that I was in. You know, like I changed vehicles and then automatically gave myself a raise. Mm. So now my mindset is, how do I do this 100 times? How do I do this 1,000 times? Because that's how I make, you know, millions of dollars in it. Mm.
What were the conversations? Because you were fortunate enough to where your parents had a bit of that entrepreneurial spirit and the fact that they had the windshield repairing business. Did you tell them about the money that you had made? And if so, what were those conversations like? Were they supportive or were they like, nah, we not really with that real estate stuff?
Bro. Like the most fortunate thing that I have in my life is supportive parents. Mm. Like to the level where it's like almost like a little crazy, you know?
Okay.
So like my parents, I guarantee you, if I call my dad right now and said, dang, I promise you, bro, I figured out how to fly. He gonna be like, for real? I swear, he gonna be like, for real? Send me the video. You gonna show me? Like, that's how much they support it. You know what I'm saying? So when I showed it to them, they was like, it was like, God damn, go son. You know, it was crazy.
Right.
Like, it's like we had never seen that amount of money at one time.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They like, well, I know you've been talking about it, but it's real now. Mm-hmm. So then the next conversation was, I'm leaving school, you know. And of course, my mom, she was devastated on that, you know. She didn't like that, you know, because like I said, bro, I had a 3.9 GPA. Like,
right.
I did very well in college, and it's not because I'm the smartest person. I just, if my name on something, I won't be the best at it. Like,
yeah.
I just wanted to be the best. Mm-hmm. So I did what I had to do to get the best grades, to get all A's, you know what I mean? I'd do whatever I had to do. So basically, I let them know, like, I'm about to leave school. My mom didn't like it. My dad, he was like, you can't do both. But I just felt like God gave me this vision, gave me this opportunity. Mm-hmm. I got success from it. The time for it is right now. Mm. Like, people always used to, because if you know me from young kid, like, I always wanted to get money. Like, I always wanted to get money because I just wanted the nicest things in life. Mm-hmm. And my parents didn't have the money to get it from me. So my mom would be like, you gonna have to be rich.
Yeah.
Money don't grow on trees. You gonna have to be rich. You have to be rich. So it got to the point where I started believing it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I just felt like the time is always now. I remember hearing this Tupac interview where Tupac was like a black man in America, got to they 30 years old, and by that time they either went to jail, had a kid, or they defeated. You know, so I remember I heard that. That was on Kendrick album, To Pimp a Butterfly. But I just always felt like time running out. So that's why I'm like, I'm dropping out. I'm going all in with this, and I'm not looking back. We're putting all 100% into it.
So you get the 32, and for a young college kid, bro, as a young college kid, you make $5,000. You on a different planet, because you broke, you figuring it out. You got 32 in hand. You make the executive decision to now drop out. Mom's a little hurt. Dad's like, hey, you got to go all in. How do we now connect the dots from that Abram where you get your first wholesale check to the one that we see sitting on the couch to where you start getting into real estate building? What does that journey look like?
You know that little monitor when somebody in the hospital is doing this?
Mm-hmm.
That's how that journey looked, up and down, up and down, up and down, a roller coaster. You know, because I did my first deal with not as much resistance, but my second deal, I found out that a deal could not close, you know, on the day of closing. So I had it set up to where the day I moved to Nashville, I had my second deal closing. Buyer didn't come through.
Mm.
So I had one or two decisions to make, because whenever you sign a contract with somebody to sell your property, what would you do?
I got to honor that contract.
Well, as a homeowner, what would you do?
If my home is the one that's being sold, or
yes, what do you start doing?
I got to start. I don't know. In that situation,
do I start packing. It's time to go.
That is true. Yeah.
You feel me? So now I'm at the closing table. I got a buyer, because with wholesaling, you never really the buyer.
Right.
So I got a buyer that don't show up, but I got a homeowner
that's packing stuff up.
That's
ready been to go.
That's packed up. This the closing day.
They ready to go.
They ready to go. You feel me? So I had one or two decisions. Either I could dip on them too, or I could spend all the money I had at that point and buy the property. So that's what I did. I ended up, you know, getting with a hard money lender. I probably had like $13,000 in my account. I had to spend $11,000 of it to close on that deal. So imagine how I'm feeling. Made all this money, invested some of it, whatever, blew some of it for sure.
Right.
Moved, you know what I'm saying? And then the day I moved, I spent all of it. And I'm back down to like $1,500 in my account. So I'm like, dang. I might have made the wrong decision, you know? But that's just, you know, just a thought. You know, right. I let it pass. And that deal ended up closing like a month and a half later. Made like $17,000 on that. But I ended up investing more into myself. You know, throughout this journey, bro, like, the number one decision that I've always made is me. Like, if I invested into me time-wise, work ethic-wise, or even just financially, this is how I get to where I'm at today. You know what I'm saying? So I spent like $50,000 in mentorship that first like 18 months. And that's what helped me build up my wholesale company. Did a couple hundred wholesale deals, paid a bunch of taxes. But what I started realizing was the people that I was selling wholesale deals to, they was making a lot more money with less deals. So in 2020 specifically, I sold this deal to an investor. I made $24,000. He made $200,000 on that deal.
Damn.
Made $200,000. So I was like, damn. Like what you just said.
Yeah,
I was
like, damn. Damn.
He needed me to make the $200,000 though.
Right.
So that's when I started asking questions like, hey, who you going to get the $200,000? Hard money lender. Oh, all right, already kind of familiar with that. Who's the hard money lenders you're using to get the loan for the property to close on it and the construction, you know? So that's when I started realizing as a wholesaler, I got value because I'm finding all the deals and the investors, like what I am now, they need me in order to get great deals. So if I started becoming an investor, it's even better for me because I'm finding the best deals and now I'm doing these deals because if somebody's going to pay me $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 markup and they still going to make money, $200,000, whatever they make, how much I'm going to make if I take it at my price? Even more money, you feel me? So I ended up doing my first flip in August of 2020. And it was a lipstick deal. It was an easy flip. I ended up making $88,000 on that first fixing flip. Very first fixing flip. And I got with a heart. So for anybody that's watching this, that's wholesaling, and they like, because wholesaling is not real estate investing. I don't care what you say. Y'all could attack me for this. I don't care what you say. If you're a wholesaler, you are not a real estate investor. You are a sales and marketer, straight up. That's what it is. If you want to be a real estate investor, you're going to need money, and you're going to need a team to execute actual real estate deals. The best way to get started, if you're a wholesaler, you don't have banking experience, you don't have W-2 income, stuff like that, get with a hard money lender. Hard money lenders, they will fund your deal. You go put down like 10 to 20% and you leverage that to make, you know, a multiple on your money. That's what I did. I made $88,000 on that first deal. And I'll kind of unlock the code to investing. Because beforehand, I thought if I was going to buy a property for X amount of dollars, I had to have all that money in my bank account. But in reality, if you want to buy a property, all you really need to have is the down payment.
You said something interesting that I've never heard someone say before. You said if you just because you're a wholesaler, that doesn't mean that you're a real estate investor. Which
yeah, you're not.
Some people would say is pretty controversial.
No, you're not.
What would you say? What's the difference between the two? And do you think that anyone can be a real estate investor?
Yeah, anybody could be anything they want to be, just not me. You know? So, but nah, seriously, wholesaling is not real estate investing because you're not buying the property. Mm-hmm. You're not spending any money on the team to fix it up or do anything with it. You're not taking any risk. So how are you an investor?
Yeah.
Because when investors, they take risks. They're running the operation.
Yeah.
When you're doing and as a wholesaler, you are running the operation, but it's sales and marketing. Because what we specialize in as wholesalers, I'm saying I stopped wholesaling about a year ago. But again, wholesaling is the best way to get into real estate. You make a lot of money wholesaling. I'm not shitting on wholesalers.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, as wholesalers, what we're good at is sales and marketing, which is pulling lists through list source, getting data, or now we're in the digital age where mm-hmm. people are using like paid ads and stuff like that. And the whole goal is to find a motivated seller, negotiate a deal on the property, and then mark your contract up and assign it to somebody like me that's going to take on the risk. Mm. Let me ask a wholesaler this. If you sell a deal to me and then I lose money on it, you going to give my money back? Mm-hmm. All right, then. Wholesaling, not real estate investing.
So let's dive more into the real estate investing side, because now you're on the you use wholesaling as a launch pad to get where you are now, right?
Yes.
What are some of the common traits in the stage of real estate you're in right now? What are some of the common traits that you've seen in people who are the most successful in real estate investing and also real estate developing?
Good with numbers. Good with numbers. Real estate is a numbers game. You know, whenever you put emotion into it, that's when you start losing money. 1 + 1 = 2 here and anywhere else on the planet. So when you talk numbers, it's a universal language.
Yeah.
It's literally a universal language. So when it comes to real estate, the universal language is how much am I going to spend and how much am I going to sell it for? And the delta between those numbers need to leave me positive. Mm. You feel me? So good real estate investors are great at their numbers. They're great at knowing the property. They're great at knowing the market. Me as a developer, in my market, like where I operate at, you can send me an address. Mm. And I know already what I can sell it for. Because I've studied the market so much. So not only are they good at the numbers, they're good at understanding the market. And also they're great operators. You know, they know how to, cause I'm not out there framing the house.
Yeah.
I'm not out there, you know, doing the HVAC work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but what I am good at is making sure that I have a team that understands how to play their role as an A player so we could get this overall outcome that we need.
What if the next time you heard from the banks, it was a $50,000 to $100,000 approval letter instead of another denial? You've been putting in the work, balancing your job, your business, and your family responsibilities. But here's the truth that most entrepreneurs never hear. Hard work alone is not enough to get the banks to say yes. Banks approve entrepreneurs who are structured the right way, and that's the missing piece that's been holding you back all along. We've seen it over and over again. Entrepreneurs who came to us who were stuck getting denial after denial got access to the right system, structure, and strategy that unlocked $50,000, $75,000, and even $100,000 credit approvals. And here's the real cost of waiting. Every month you go without having access to capital is another month where your opportunities are slipping into another business's hands. That's why we created the Fast Track to Capital, a free masterclass where we break down the exact steps needed to make yourself look fundable to banks so that you can access the capital needed to scale your business. We only do this training a limited amount of times per year, so if you're ready to secure your spot, click the link above or below this video so that you don't go another year without having the access to capital that your business needs. Mm.
Dive a little bit more into that, because you and I was actually talking about that off camera. You know, in anything you're trying to do, especially in real estate, the goal is to grow, right? Yes. I don't want to keep making the same amount of money every year.
Gotta scale.
But you know, just as well as I do, scaling is not a one-man job, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Abram ain't the one out here putting up the panels, doing the roofing, doing the plumbing. You have to have team.
Yeah.
How do you go about finding the right people to help scale? How did you go about finding the right people to scale your real estate empire?
Man, that's a great question. Very good question. Real estate is a relationship-built industry, right? So I'm going to take it back to my first deal.
Let's do it.
I did my first development deal, all right? Mm-hmm. So we did the first flip in 2020, follow me. I did a handful of flips. Not even a handful. I did like 50 flips in my career. I did my last one like 2 years ago. What I realized with flips is that it's harder to scale with a flip versus a new construction, because you're going over something that's old. You never really know. Like, if I was to redo this office, I don't know what's behind these walls.
Yeah.
But if I was to go build a new office from scratch, I know exactly what I'm about to do.
Could you build it from the ground up?
From the ground up, you feel me? So that's what drove me to development. And then the market I'm in, Nashville, just going crazy with development. Do your research. It's like top five in the country right now in development. So that's what drove me to it. I did my first development deal. I closed on it. Well, I started, broke ground on it in November of 2021. Mm-hmm. And I sold it in 2022, like June. I hired a general contractor, because with development is a little different. Like, you got to have, and most countries, most counties, most jurisdictions, you got to have like permits or you got to have a license to build houses. So I had to hire a general contractor to build my first house. Actually, like my first 10 houses, I worked with a general contractor. Mm-hmm. To answer your question, that's how I found my team. So like, for anybody that's wondering, you know, because that's like one of the number one questions I get asked. Hey, bro, how do I find subs? How do I find framers? How do I find plumbers? Find it by getting referrals from people that's already in the business that's working with them. Like I said, I found mine with my general contractor. You know, general contractors, they have a team of subs. Another great way to do it is hop in your car, ride around the neighborhoods, and you see the houses that's being built. Bro, hop out. Talk, network with people. These subs need and want and value your business. Do that enough, and then you'll have multiple framers, multiple plumbers. Like, there's so many subs out here that's looking for work. Mm-hmm. It's not hard to find them. I would say the only thing now is just making sure that they're great subs. And the best way to do that, check with somebody that's working with them. Simple.
You said something earlier as well that was very interesting to me, and I want to make sure the audience doesn't just skip past it. You talked about when you were, I think you said when you were navigating your wholesaling journey, you spent over $50,000 in mentorship around that time. How important, in retrospect, and even in where you are now, is mentorship to your journey? Because I feel like there are some entrepreneurs that struggle with the idea of it. Like, I don't want to pay somebody to go, I'm going to go ahead and figure it out on my own. Or, I don't trust anyone, or this person may be a scam. Why was putting that much money into mentorship so important to the success that we see today?
Because it's just kind of how you skip the line. You know, if I could learn from somebody else's experiences, then I could skip steps. You know, so like, the biggest things I learned from my mentor is how to go around the obstacle instead of having to go through it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, for example, in wholesaling, you know, I started learning about systems. I started learning about tools and processes. I started learning about KPIs, how to reverse engineer the same thing that's going on over and over. Because, again, even a step further than real estate, business is numbers. You know, big part of why, you know, businesses are successful is because they know their numbers and they track them. You know, and when you track that data, you could duplicate it.
So then we talked about the things that make up a good real estate investor. I want to flip it, because one of the things you said is numbers are universal. You can't be emotional about numbers. And for me, when I heard you say that, I'm just like, are there actually investors in the space of real estate that let their emotions get the best of them to where it's like they're actually doing bad business, or it keeps them from growing? You've been around the block long enough. On the flip side of things, what are some of the common traits you see in investors that are here today and gone tomorrow?
Look, I ain't even going to talk about nobody else. I'm going to talk about myself. Because I did start off knowing, and even where I'm at today, I got the mindset that I treat myself like I know nothing. You know what I mean? Because you could always learn, because it's an evolving game.
Yeah.
You know, the stock market today is not the stock market tomorrow. Real estate, similar.
Yeah.
You know? So at the end of the day, like, what I started realizing, well, okay, let's go back. Did my first deal, worked with a GC for my first 10 deals.
Yeah.
I got trigger happy.
What do you mean?
I made $350,000 on my first new build. Like, when I made that, I was like, I'm buying every single new build that I could possibly buy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because I'm just like, oh, if I could do this many times, boom, I can make this much money. So I started buying a bunch of deals, and even though they might have didn't pencil all the way, I would still kind of justify it, you know, like get too optimistic. Mm. Like I'm a reset comps. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get a price somebody else didn't get. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, and that was in 2022. Mm. So I bought a bunch of those deals. Well, 2021 up into 2022, I was buying a bunch of those deals and the market changed, you know? Mm-hmm. If you're in real estate, you know, during COVID, interest rates, 2%, lowest we ever seen. Well, lowest we seen in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And then in 2022, they went from 2% to 8%.
Went right back up, boy.
And I'm in the middle of building all these properties. Mm. So you just got to understand, bro, whenever, all right, let me put it for instance. Whenever you apartment shopping and your budget for your rent is $2,000 a month, let's say I'm your leasing agent. You tell me that. Mm-hmm. And then I take you up to like the 30th floor and you'd be like, how much these are? And I say, $3,500 a month. What you gonna say?
Bro, it's out of my budget. I can't buy this.
Same thing with buying houses.
Yeah.
People that's buying houses, less concerned about the price, more concerned about what is the mortgage? What am I gonna pay?
Yeah.
That's how they determine what they go afford. So when interest rates go from 2 to 8%, mortgages are a lot less affordable. Mm. Let me put it for instance. During COVID, when interest rates was 2%, you could get a $500,000 mortgage for like, I don't know, $2,200 or something like that.
Yeah.
Not expensive. Now, when interest rates go up to 7, 8%, that same $500,000 house go cost you like $4,500 a month.
Damn.
Like $4,500 a month. So now all the people that could afford $500,000 houses got to go buy $350,000.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So now that creates a shockwave in the market. Mm. You know, so what happened with me was a bunch of these deals that I underwrote to sell at $700,000, $750,000 was selling for $600,000, mm-hmm, or $575,000. All on top of that, I'm sitting on them for 6, 7 months paying interest payments and they not selling. And that's the part of development and real estate that people, they don't talk about that online. You feel me? So I look up, I got 8 or 9 properties that I'm building, some of them done, others, they all in various stages. But at one point I look up, I'm paying $50,000 a month in interest payments. Interest only payments, waiting for these properties to sell. You feel me? So that started depleting a lot of cash in my business and I started realizing, okay, we got a lot of deficiencies in the business, you know, and that's when I started like really like paying attention to everything because, you know, development, I knew the money that I could make in it. You know, I knew the opportunity, mm-hmm, you know, but I knew like, okay, I got to be great at this to, you know, really operate at a high level at scale. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to be able to withstand market fluctuations and stuff like that.
That's good because I don't own real estate, but to piggyback off of that, I feel like, to your point, if you're going to get in this industry, understanding the market is extremely important because, like you said, it makes or breaks a lot, pretty much everything that's going on. But in the same vein, do you see that? Because one of the things I hear from the outside looking in is there are certain people that feel like they can never buy real estate because they're like, all right, I got to wait until interest rates.
Nah, it's all, the always best time always right now. My bad to cut you off.
No. But so go into that because there's one quote where you know Wall Street Trapper is?
Yeah,
he talks about this.
He's from New Orleans, bro.
Oh, so, yeah. But there you go. So he has a quote that I love where he's like, "Time in the market is better than timing the market," and he's pretty much just like, if you sit and wait for the perfect opportunity to jump in, bro, it's never going to come.
Yeah.
Where are you when it comes to that? How do I, as someone who wants to get started in real estate, analyze the market to where I know or look at the market to where I know, is there really a best time?
Bruh, right now is the best time to get into real estate. Right now is the best time to get into development. Mm. The numbers tell you otherwise. Because, I mean, the numbers tell you that. It supports it. The United States is behind over 4.5 million homes. Mm. Okay? So whenever you talk about supply and demand, if we're behind 4.5 million homes, that is why prices are at a point where they're unaffordable for people. So in order to combat this affordability issue, we have to replace. I mean, we have to build more properties, you know? So at the end of the day, I don't think we go look up and the market crashes and it goes backwards. Mm. I think the prices are going to continue to gradually increase. And the more we develop it could slow down the appreciation. But for somebody that's still waiting on the sideline, if you wait another 5, 10 years or however many years, it's just going to be a higher price.
So what's a simple, if I'm watching this, I'm like, all right, Abram, you convinced me. I got to get my first investment property. What's a simple strategy I could implement to secure my first investment property, whether it's something I want to buy or something that I want to build?
If you want to build, I buy most of my deals straight off the MLS.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. Talk a little bit about that.
So, I mean, bro, I just make offers. Like, so I got a strategy called we make bully offers.
Bully offers.
Yes.
Okay.
So, just because a property is listed at a certain price on the MLS, that don't mean you have to pay that price. Mm. Like, I tell my students, the list price is a suggestion. I'm going to pay what makes sense.
I never heard nobody say that. Okay.
The list price is a suggestion. I'm going to pay what makes sense.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I look at the market and whether a property is coming soon or whether a price change happened or whether it's been sitting on the market, mm-hmm. I go in and I offer a lowball price with a close in 5 to 7 days. Like, basically, a bully offer is offering a low price but giving, like, irresistible terms. Which is, we're going to close cash, we'll close in 5 days, we're not going to have any inspection, you know, none of that. Mm. And then that'll entice, you know, people that's motivated to come down on their price.
Giving a bully offer. What would you say is the best deal that you've done to date using that strategy?
Man, bro, it's some deals. Right now, there's a deal that's going on. You know, I got this lot that I bought for $1 million that was on the market for 1.2. Mm. But I'm gonna spend about 2.1 million building it, and I'm gonna sell it for $6 million.
Mm.
Straight off the MLS. Mm. Now, as far as deals that's sold and I made the money off of it, mm-hmm. I bought a lot for $260,000 that was listed for $385,000 on the MLS. Mm-hmm. I ended up selling the house for $1.475 million. We cleared $442,000, somewhere around there on it.
Off the MLS.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
We sold the house June 10th, 2025.
It's interesting to hear you, because before we sat down here, I actually read a report somewhere that out of over 30,000 real estate developers all across the country, only 0.4% of them are Black, right? So you're in that small group of individuals. You talked earlier about some of the lumps that you took about, you know, the market changes that put you in a situation where you spend like $50,000 a month on interest. Making up such a small percentage of such a large industry, what are some of the other challenges that you may be dealing with that, to your point, that Instagram doesn't see?
It's less representation. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, if you was a developer, you know, he was a developer, you know, everybody that looked like, not everybody, but more people that looked like me was a developers, then, you know, it would be less resistance, you know, on the lending side, mm-hmm. you know, on the, mostly it's the lending side, mm-hmm. and the permitting side of things, because, I mean, I'm not in the room when conversations are going down, you know, that's stopping me from doing things, you know, so I never really focused on it as an excuse. Mm-hmm. I always know that it's there. But that's why I just work extra hard. You know, I work so hard to where, and do great business to where you can't stop me. You can't refuse me, you mm. know? So, mm. but it's definitely an industry that is dominated, you know, predominantly a white industry. And age, too. So the race thing is one factor. Mm-hmm. 0.4% is Black, but then I'm 27 years old.
Yeah.
There's probably, like, I could count on my hands. I'd probably be the only person under, well, me and my homie probably is a good chance the only people under 30 in the United States doing over $25 to $30 million of development right now.
Mm. How important? Because I actually saw a video you put up on social the other day where it's like, it's almost like you understand that and you've made it a priority for yourself to show people who are much younger than you. Like, yo, this is possible. Like, I think I saw a video of you, I don't know if it was in Nashville or it was in Texas, where, like, you were with a bunch of kids, Like you had like the supercars outside and things like that. And I think with most, if most people just saw you, they wouldn't think like, okay, real estate. The average person wouldn't think like, okay, this guy is a real estate builder. He's a real estate developer. How important is it for you now in this season of your life, knowing how much success you got at such a young age, making up that 0.4% to be that representation for other young kids who just like, okay, I don't gotta rap, I don't gotta play basketball. Like, bro, I can get in real estate and do what Abram's doing. Talk a bit about that.
It's very important, you know, because when I think about myself, I took care of myself a long time ago, you know. So it's like you get to a part where like you start getting, like you gotta always have meaning in everything you're doing, or like you'll start, if you're not growing, you're dying.
Facts.
You know what I mean? So I started like realizing that, you know, showing somebody else that they could do it too, just helps, you know, everything. It helps me, it helps them, it helps whoever they're connected to, and it's like, why not? You know what I mean? So whenever everybody else is in the world fighting about politics, about who's the president, about this person doing this person doing that, I think the answer is clear as day on how we close the gap. Like, it's not rocket science, you know what I mean?
Right.
So then when I think about, okay, if we want to close the gap, who's the most important people, you know, that's going to close it? Well, it's the people that's going to be here when I'm gone.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, I definitely like working with the younger generation, because they the ones that's going to follow after us.
Yeah.
You know? So.
What is the Triple M method, and how did that come about?
Triple M is money-making mindset. So, man, the name came about, actually, me and my dogs, we was on the phone one day, and we were just bouncing off names, and, you know, I was saying Money Mitch something, and, you know, we were just bouncing off names. I knew I liked the MMM, and then one of my dogs said, Money Making Mindset is my dog Rick. Shout out to Ricky Thomas, but he was like, Money Making Mindset, and I was like, that's it, you know, because aside from all the other stuff, if I didn't have the mindset, none of this like would have happened. If I didn't have the simple belief that I can do it, or that it will happen, you know what I mean? Or if it didn't happen, it's because I need to go back and study some more, or build another skill.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, whenever it was money making mindset, the second part of it is where the mindset makes the money. Another one of my dogs came up with that. It's crazy, you know. So once you get into, like, you know, people will never know that. But one of my partners, he came up with Money Making Mindset with us all on the phone. Then another one of my homies, one day, he hit, well, the mindset makes the money. You feel me? And that's exactly what Triple M represents. You will never get to the money if you don't fix your mindset when it comes to money.
You've seen people post their 50K approvals online, but have you ever wondered why it hasn't happened for you yet? You're clocking in at your 9-to-5, you're building your business after hours, you're even stacking your 401k and setting money aside for investments. So on paper, you're doing all the right things, but here's the problem. Growth feels slower than it should, opportunities keep passing you by because the capital isn't there, and you start wondering if building a real legacy for your family is even possible. It's not about effort or commitment, because you've already proven that you have both. The missing piece is having the proper structure. That's why inside of our free masterclass, The Fast Track to Capital, I'm going to show you a step-by-step process on how entrepreneurs just like you are securing $50,000 to $100,000 in capital safely without wasting years on trial and error. So if you want to secure your seat, click the link above or below this video to save your spot, and don't keep grinding without the structure that gets real results.
What would you say, because there's so many principles that goes into having the right mindset to grow and scale, especially when we talk about making more money, what would you say is the number one money mindset principle shift you had to make in order for you to get to this point that other people can adopt?
To me, it was money as a tool. Like, when I started looking at money as a hammer, you know what I'm saying? Instead of whatever you think it is, whenever you look at it, whenever I started realizing, okay, well, what is a hammer used to do? Build things. So money is ultimately used to build me and whoever is around me, whoever is connected to me. So when you talk about why'd you invest into yourself, because I want to be free, because I want to be better. You know, I read this book of The Way of the Superior Man, and he talks about the better you are as a man, the better it is for everyone around you in the world.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So I just have this ultimate goal of always being the best of myself. It ain't about being better than you, him, anybody else in here. I don't care about none of that.
Yeah.
I just care about who was Abram Mitchell yesterday, who is he today, and so on and so on. And if I could keep doing that every single day, you see what it's done now. It's a compound effect.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for, 7 years now?
Yeah.
So just imagine another 10 years of that. You know?
Over.
It's just compounds. That's another thing that I feel like is the difference between people that's reached a massive level of success and people that haven't. We understand that I might get up and do this for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I might shoot this podcast for 6 months
mm-hmm.
and get 100 views.
Mm-hmm.
And on month 7, we hit 100,000.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And some people, they just feel like it's supposed to be
perfect.
Incremental. It's supposed to match up perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I put in work today and I got 1% better. And if I do it for 100 days, I reach 100%. No, that's not how it go.
Yeah.
You might get 0% for 5 days straight.
Yeah.
And then on day 6, you get a 20% shift. So at the end of the day, you never know when that breakthrough is going to come,
mm-hmm.
but you know it's going to come if you keep going.
Yeah.
It's just like the concept of every no brings me closer to a yes.
Mm-hmm. As we start to close, I'm curious, at this stage, what do you want your legacy to be moving forward?
Man, you ask some good questions, dog. That's some real good questions, man. When it comes to legacy, I just want to leave an impact that's bigger than me.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I want to leave something that, you know, I feel like it's one thing to, you know, pop it and turn up and do good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When it's out, like, I was watching, you know, they got all this Thug stuff going on. And, you know, just on some of the leaks, I heard Thug just saying, but what did you do for this person? Or what did you do for that person?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or they got this song where Jay-Z was like, over here we measure success by how many people successful next year. Over here we say you broke if everybody broke except for you.
Mm.
So when I think of legacy, how many people was I able to affect,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a positive way by just doing what I do? It might not even be direct. It might be indirect.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I post YouTube videos now, and I was reading it, and one dude put in there, I forget the exact comment, but basically he was like, this young man is very important because he's going to motivate younger kids to get out the streets.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? When I read that comment, I was like, I never said that verbatim. But yes, like, that's the goal. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
let's have people do stuff that's gonna get us ahead.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody talk about it, but let's actually do it, you know?
Yeah, that's powerful, bro. Last question.
Well, I wanna do one other thing
talk
before you do that last question.
Let's do it.
Cause I feel like, all right, so earlier you was asking if somebody that's, you know, just trying to start somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where would they start? What's a good start for them?
Mm-hmm.
And like right now I'm speaking to that person that's doing wholesale deals.
Mm-hmm.
Are they doing fix and flip deals and they want to transition into development? Like they want to start doing development deals, making, you know, larger checks, larger spreads on their deals.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest things with development is you got to understand how to look at a piece of land. One of the biggest questions I get asked is, how do I know what to offer on the land? How do I know what size of a house to build? How do I know what the zoning is of the property?
Yeah.
Bruh, ChatGPT literally, like you could use ChatGPT to find out pretty much everything you need to know
yeah.
about land so you can make those offers and investments.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? So I played around with ChatGPT
mm-hmm.
and we started prompting it and basically... Hold on 1 second.
Take your time, bro.
So we started prompting ChatGPT,
mm-hmm.
and we found out that you could get the zoning, you could get comps, you get everything that you need to know about a property, but it's all about the prompts.
Yeah.
Okay? So basically, and this is a long prompt, so I'm not going to read the entire thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you the link, though.
Okay, whenever, let's do it.
You know, so they can see all of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to pretty much read like a sample of what I would put into ChatGPT to find out, you know, the zoning of a property, to find out what I could sell the new build for, to find out what I should be, my build cost should be at, what should I get the land at, like everything, start to finish. So basically what I go to ChatGPT and say, I am considering purchasing the lot at 17 Garden Street. This is a property in Nashville, but this works no matter where you at. You just need the prompt, and then you put your address in. So I'm considering purchasing the property at whatever the address is, to develop and sell a duplex. I need a comprehensive due diligence report covering every aspect necessary for a successful purchase, build, and sell. The report should include, 1, zoning and land use regulations, confirm the current zoning, classification, and whether a duplex is permitted by right or requires rezoning or variances. 2, permitting and approval process. Give me the step-by-step process for obtaining permits, site plan, grading, and occupancy permits. Give me the estimated timeline for approval of a duplex project in Nashville and expected fees and costs associated with those permits. 3, lot suitability and feasibility, topography, soil conditions, drainage, flood risk, and identify any soil tests or geotechnical reports required before the build. 4, construction costs and challenges estimated. Give me the estimated total cost to build a high-quality duplex, including site prep, foundation work, framing, roofing, exterior finishes, interior finishes, mechanical systems, landscaping, driveway, cost comparison, all the way down the list. We get super, super detailed, super detailed with it. Bro. And then 5, market analysis and profitability. Give me comps. Basically, comparable sales analysis for newly built duplexes in the area. Give me the expected sale price per unit and total revenue potential. Give me the projected profit margin based on purchase price, construction costs, financing, and sales price. 6, risk and recommendations. Any red flags, any risks, or anything that's associated with it. And that's the last thing. Mm. And basically, once I prompt that to ChatGPT, it gives me all that information.
Let me see this here.
You can scroll down. It'll let you know the price to buy it at. It'll let you know the profit percentage, the return on investment.
Look at, bro, this is a whole breakdown.
The zoning.
That's crazy.
The document, links to the document, the application you need to fill out for permitting.
Bro, this is like, and it's still going. Look at this. Tree, look at this.
It's everything.
Lot suitability. That's crazy.
It's everything that you need on there, you know? So a lot of people like, that's the biggest learning curve is looking at land and knowing what, that's what I didn't know. Like, okay, it's land. What? How much should I pay on it?
Yep.
And how much is it going to cost me to build this house? Most people have no idea. About that. You feel me? So I'm going to give you that link.
Let's go. Free game.
Share it with them. So
my God.
All you got to do is put the address in and now you got a full breakdown on the property. Because, I mean, ChatGPT has pretty much studied the entire internet.
Crazy.
Everything that's public data.
Man, I appreciate that, bro. So we're going to put the link for that in the description. Last question before we get you out of here. If sitting across from you, where you sit today, sitting across from you was Abram 10 years into the future. So he plopped in. So you 10 years into the future.
All right.
And he's sitting across from you, but he only had 30 seconds to speak to you. What do you think he would say?
Keep going and keep God first. That's it. Say no more. He know we locked in.
That's it.
He know I know.
Keep going and keep God locked in.
Keep going and keep God first. Man. That's it. Everything else go take care of itself, bro.
Hey, Abram Mitchell. Man, I appreciate you for coming on the show.
Yes, sir.
Your camera right here. Let the people know, 1, where they can find you. But 2, I think you also have a link. You mentioned a link earlier, but you also have, I think, something else as well.
I got a bunch of free stuff on.
Breaking
my
out
mom will always tell me, never go in a room empty handed.
I love it. Let's go.
So as far as platforms, Abram Mitchell, A-B-R-A-M-M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L, all platforms, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, LinkedIn, all that. And then I got a free real estate bundle for y'all. It has my ebook in here, has my checklist. It also has my pro forma tool that I use to analyze deals. And basically, it tells you what you would make on a deal after inputting those numbers. So we're going to give you that along with that ChatGPT prompt. Yep. That's a little bonus. You know, I just got that feeling on the show, bro. I like the questions you was asking.
I appreciate that.
I appreciate the podcast. So we're going to drop that ChatGPT prompt in there. And with that prompt, all you have to do is put the property address in that you're looking at, and you'll have a full breakdown and analyzation on that deal. So appreciate you for having me, bro.
Always, brother. I appreciate you. My guy. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate each and every single one of y'all. If you haven't already, what are you doing? Take a second, take a minute out of your day right here, right now to go ahead, slap that like button, show this episode some love, tell a friend to come back and rewatch this episode again. And as always, my name is Marvin Francois. That's my guy, Abram Mitchell. Y'all have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. Thank you all. God bless. And until next time, peace.
Yes, sir.